call Jules. 0345 9811111. This is Call Jules.
BBC Radio Kent.
Good morning. Thank you for your company. I'm Jules. I'm on BBC Radio Kent until midday. Does BBC Local Radio, this radio station, but others, there are 39 across the country, do we deserve to be saved? The BBC is going to scrap plans to cut £10 million from the local radio budget. This is an effort to become more local, according to the big boss, the Director General Tony Hall, who made this announcement last night. He promises a renaissance in local broadcasting, and he wants to boost creativity. What do you want from us? This is your station, and there are others up and down the country that you may well listen to. Technology now allows you to listen to pretty much any radio station you want to anywhere. Are we doing what you want us to do? Do you always enjoy BBC Local Radio? Which bits do you enjoy? What makes you turn off? When do you absolutely loathe what we're doing? Tell us what you want from us, and if we are serving you properly, are we talking about the things that matter in your life? Tony Hall says he wants BBC Local Radio to be for everybody. Can you make a radio station that's for everybody, or do you have to decide who you're broadcasting to and then focus on what interests them? I really would love to talk to you this morning. Don't ring in if you're just going to tell us we're great. I suspect you won't, but don't do that. It won't be interesting. A bit of that would be fine. Tell us where we're getting it wrong as well. 03459 811111. And if you're quick, send me an email and I can put your question to the boss. The managing editor of BBC Radio Kent's joining us in just a second, Gordon Davison. He's not live in the studio because he's been up at this celebration of BBC Local Radio in the Midlands last night. But if you drop me a quick email, I can put your question to him. The email address is julia@bbc.co.uk.
Call Jules. 03459 811111.
Text us on 81333, starting your message with Kent.
Email julia@bbc.co.uk.
Or get involved via Facebook at BBC Radio Kent Official. And Twitter at BBC Radio Kent.
Julia George.
BBC Radio Kent.
It's all here.
Some great emails coming in already. I hope some great calls as well, because it's always really nice to talk to you and to be able to pick apart arguments and thoughts. So if you want to ring, it's 03459 811111. This is from Mick. Just dropped in. I know he's a regular listener, but he doesn't love everything. And who does? Mick says, local radio should do what it says on the tin, run by and presented by people who know the area. Managers should take more notice of the audience. Recent changes have upset a lot of faithful listeners who have switched from BBC Radio Kent. Mick, just be specific this morning. You know, if you think that we're not doing what you want us to do, be specific. So send me another email explaining what you mean. And he ends with, some of your phone-in presenters seem to be too forward with their own opinions and shoot down callers. More Kent on Kent, please. Interesting. Thank you, Mick. If you'd like to send me an email, it's julia@bbc.co.uk. I've got a couple more of those coming in, but I want to introduce you to the managing editor of BBC Radio Kent, who is Gordon Davison. Gordon, good to have you with us. You might need to explain to our listeners why you're not actually here in Kent today.
I'm working incredibly hard in the Midlands. Now, we had the Gillard Awards last night. And part of that is celebrating BBC Local Radio's 50th anniversary. So, yes, it was a nice time for us to all sit down and go, well, we made it to 50. That's fantastic. But there's also a lot of, as the BBC is wont, to have lots of meetings about actually what the next 50 years might look like as well. So it was a good opportunity for me to sit down with a lot of the people doing the same kind of job that I'm doing in Derby and Cumbria and Manchester and London and Southampton, and just say, how's this working for you guys? What are we learning from what we've done in the last year? And it's been an incredibly difficult year, not just in terms of news, but also just in terms of internal politics within the BBC, because I don't think it's a huge secret that we were facing quite stringent cuts at one point. So the reason I'm in the Midlands today is because that's an ongoing project. And after what the big boss said last night, we now all have to sit down and go, oh, okay, that's changed our plans a little bit. What does this now mean for our individual stations?
Well, that's an interesting point. There wasn't an enormous amount of clarity, and presumably you got more than we all did, because we were able to read and listen to, and people are able to go online and read Tony Hall's speech if they're interested today. But let's pick through some of the things he said. ditching the evening shared programme. Just explain to people, in case they don't listen in the evening, what that is and what's going to happen now.
Well, 5 years ago, again, because of cost savings, the evening show became a shared programme, which meant the same programme was rebroadcast on the 39 local radio stations. Now, before that, there were some local radio shows that were being run on local radio stations, and then some sort of regional shows. So in the southeast, we had a shared one across several radio stations. And there was an intake of breath when Tony Hall mentioned that last night. That did really come left to centre. There was some gossip about it, but there'd been no confirmation. So when it was announced, it was that moment where all the editors went, "Oh, that's interesting." Because, as I said, for the last 12 months, we've been all sitting here thinking, well, where do we make the savings? So this was a really welcome boost to where local radio stands in the BBC family.
OK, you can only really be held accountable for this BBC radio station. So let's talk about BBC Radio Kent for a moment. At the moment, there is a thing called a BBC service licence agreement. And I'm one of those boring people who's read it and I've got a copy of it in front of me. But the remit of BBC Local Radio, Gordon, is to provide a primarily speech-based service of news, information and debate to local communities. The target audience should be listeners aged 50 and over who are not served elsewhere. Although the service may appeal to others, there should be a strong emphasis on interactivity and audience involvement. To what extent do you think BBC Radio Kent is doing what it's supposed to do?
Well, I'm really proud of what we do, because actually, if you just read that again and break it down line by line, we're doing much more of that than we've ever done in the past. And you know, your show, The Breakfast Show, even if you look at the shows that maybe aren't journalistically led, such as Pat and Erica's show, are now very much about people of Kent having a radio station that they can come on and share their stories with. And that's a theme that runs all the way through the radio station. One of the things that Tony Hall said last night that really struck home with me was, we shouldn't broadcast at people, but we should broadcast with people. We should share stories, and we should get that interaction going. And I think that's our strongest suit in a very crowded market. And we are competing with a lot of different services, and there's an awful lot of choice in Kent. To be the only people on the dial to be able to do that is probably our biggest gift. And I think that's what's been recognised by the changes that were announced last night, that only local radio, in all of its different forms, can be the voice of the community and strength to our elbow that we continue to do it.
Fantastic that we won an award last night, but to look at the various ways in which you measure the success of a BBC local radio station, our listening figures are extremely disappointing at the moment. If people aren't listening to us in the numbers they used to, then we're doing something wrong, aren't we?
Well, there's a yes and a no answer to that, and I'm a managing editor, so there's always going to be a yes and a no to that. You know, this year, within the last 12 months, we've also delivered our highest set of figures in the current methodology, which is a nice, you know, business phrase. But since the way we've been measured, we've also delivered our highest. So there is an element of whatever card you get at this particular moment in time, where does it sit in the bigger picture? So we've had highs and we've had lows, and that will always continue.
I think you might have just bamboozled people by at the same time. It's possible to say we've just had our lowest set of figures, depending on which particular measure you're looking at. Let's be honest, I'm not happy about where our listening figures are, and I don't think you are either.
Oh, and even when they're at their highest, there's always that moment of going, oh, I wish it was a little bit higher than that, because that does justify the licence fee in a lot of ways. That is the clearest measure of what we are doing. And you've got to remember, BBC Local Radio is an incredibly expensive beast. It is 40 radio stations. It is 40 mid-morning presenters. It is, you know, 40 producers, 40 second producers, and all the other people that work just on your show. So we have to stand up and say, actually, we need to make our audience figures better, and we need to make sure that they're going in the right direction. So that is always going to be a constant pressure for us. And when they're up, that's fantastic. And when they're down, it just means we need to work a little bit harder.
And I know this is probably uncomfortable, but you know you pay me to ask the difficult questions of everybody. Our reach, which is how many people are listening to us, is now 186,000. We were worried when it was 198,000. We weren't that happy when it was 231,000. It's the lowest it's ever been. What do we need to do to make sure people want to listen to us and those figures are going in the opposite direction?
Well, again, what we need to do is make sure that we're unique in the market. We need to make sure that every time that somebody tunes to this radio station, we are absolutely delivering the very best radio that we can. And I know that's a very broad answer to a very specific question, but actually it doesn't get more complicated than that. You know, one of the reasons that you are doing the kind of show that you do is because we know from history, it also delivers some fantastic figures. And it's the same can be said for a lot of the programs. And when we do see there's a problem, maybe with a specific show, the first thing to do is not just throw the baby out with the bathwater, but actually to take a look at it and try and figure out what else is maybe going on with us. Is the format a little bit tired? Do we need to refresh how we do things? So that's an ongoing process that happens all of the time. And part of that process, yes, comes from the feedback we get from our measuring system, but it's also the feedback that we get from listeners. And those are the kind of things that I particularly enjoy. Okay. When somebody does come in and go, actually, I didn't like that, but I do like this. And you sort of go, well, why is that? What's going on there?
Well, let's have one of those. Jackie's just emailed me. I don't think I've heard from Jackie before. And you and I always love it when everyone loves it when we know that new people are touched by what we're talking about.
First-time callers.
If you tell us you're a first-time caller, you get straight on the radio. Jackie says, I get bored with the endless phone-ins. Now, I probably sound like a turkey voting for Christmas right now reading that one out. But Jackie gets bored with endless phone-ins. There should be phone-ins, but not so many. What do you say to Jackie?
Well, again, it's one of the things you talked about was our service agreement there. And it's also about how we sit within what else is floating on the dial. People nowadays don't necessarily just stick to one radio station. You know, 50 years ago, it was the light program and nothing else. And then commercial radio came along, BBC local radio came along. The networks diversified from 1 to 5, and now it's from 1 to 5, and then all the digital stations thrown on the top of it. So what you have to do is sort of pick a space and say, this is what we're about. And as you said from the service agreement, we are about local issues, debating the local issues, asking those questions. If you want to listen to a certain kind of music, whether that be a rock station or a 70s disco station, I guarantee in Kent, you will be able to find that kind of radio station. And it's not that difficult to do nowadays with the amount of digital stations that are floating around and online listening as well. So what we have to do is say, well, okay, what are we going to be famous for in this particular area? And actually, the show that you do and the shows that we do across the day are what we are famous for. You know, nowhere else will react to an event in Kent in the same way that we can. And that's partly because of the way we're resourced, but it's also because that's our job. That's what we've been asked to do.
But a lot of the phone-in questions we ask aren't about Kent. And I go back to Mick's point when he says, I want more Kent on BBC Radio Kent. Don't we need to be more local? And isn't that one of the big points that Tony Hall was making last night? If we want to justify our existence, we need to really get under the skin of Kent and maybe turn our back a little bit on... a little bit harsh, and no criticism intended to anybody, but the BBC breakfast show this morning with John and Anna was doing a lot about Priti Patel. Now, I know one of my colleagues was telling me today that he went home and his missus, who's an intelligent woman, said, who's she? Are we sometimes turning our head away from Kent when we should be firmly rooted in Kent pretty much all day long?
And I would agree with you. When there is something, and I go back to the days of Operation Stack, which is a good 2 years ago now. When the roads of Kent were completely blocked by Operation Stack, that pretty much dominated every part of our output. And we got a lot of praise for it, and we saw our audience figures increase. And we were with that story before the National spotted that, oh, look, Kent looks a little bit busy at the moment. And we were still doing that story after all the Nationals had got bored with that and gone on to whatever the next thing was. But I think it's about getting the mix right, because people in Kent still care about national issues. But the Kent voice is distinctly different to maybe how people in Cumbria might look at a certain issue, or people in Glasgow might look at a certain issue. And that's what we've also got to capture as well. And Brexit is a fantastic example of this. If you listened to the phone-ins that we ran in Kent before Brexit, it would not have come as a huge surprise the way the vote eventually went, because we were hearing those voices, and it was Kent people saying, this is what I believe, and this is my view of this very big national topic. And that was fantastic. When I talked to my colleagues, there are genuinely other communities that saw the Brexit vote, it went through, and they all went, where on earth did that come from? Because they didn't hear that on their radio station. So I think it's important that, yes, we are absolutely rooted in Kent, and yes, absolutely, if it impacts in Kent, we need to be on top of that story. And of course, the cliches are always when there's a natural disaster of some form, if there's a flooding, and we remember what happened in Yalding. You know, when the Prime Minister turned up, it was lovely because we got all the national press turning up to look at what happened in Yalding. We'd been on that story 2 weeks beforehand, and we've continued to cover it ever since. But actually, that's what we're here for. But I do think it's important we also go, look at this story over here. It's not necessarily all about Kent, but it is probably the kind of thing that you need to be aware of. And again, it's about providing that service that when people hear about it, they can get involved in. And you can't always pick the one story that everybody is going to go, that's relevant to me. And it's a bit like playing a music track. You know, you can stick the Beatles on and a lot of people will love it, but some people will go, oh, dear, the Beatles, really? Bit overrated, bit of a Stones fan myself.
The final question, Gordon, I don't want to get into specifics of presenters because actually for me that is a little uncomfortable, but I do want to know if we should be having only people from Kent, purely because Tony Hall's talking about local voices and so on. Should we try and have more Kent people presenting programmes rather than bringing people in from other parts of the country?
When local radio was started, it was started to give local people a voice. And if you look at our radio station, we do have a mix of people from Kent and not from Kent. I think at the end of the day, you have to sort of be realistic about this and sort of say, who are the best people for the job? Now, you have very strong connections with Kent and you bring those to the air, and that is fantastic. And there are other people with other skill sets that are also on the radio station that maybe just bring something slightly different to the mix. I think it would be... I've worked in a lot of different places, and I've always found that actually listeners respond to human beings and real people. I don't think the postcode they were born in necessarily makes that much of a difference. I think as long as you're passionate and you care about your audience and you care about what it is you're doing, you will always be able to engage with the listener.
Gordon Davison, Managing Editor of BBC Radio Kent. Thank you very much indeed. The time is 9:22. Loads of emails coming in. I'd love to read some of them out, but I'd really love it. If you've sent an email, would you consider actually talking to us this morning? Come on the radio and say what you want to say. 03459 811 111. This is BBC Radio Kent.
It's the Human League, and don't you want me? It's BBC Radio Leicester. Ben Jackson with you through until midday today. We are joined in our studio here at BBC Radio Leicester by the Director General of the BBC, Tony Hall. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I just say, I can't believe you've already been ambushed by my producer with our book that we have produced that we're very proud of.
Well, I've just been sold the benefits, not only of the book, which is great, because it's all going to make money for charity, and I think the enterprise of getting this going... She was telling me within a month is unbelievable. But we've also just been out there whilst you've been busy working, talking about one of her recipes for singing Swede, Swede in the microwave, which apparently when you microwave it, not sure quite for how long, but when it comes out, it Swede tastes like, well, I'll find out, I'll try it. I'm not a great Swede fan, I have to say, but there we are. She's convinced me.
It only sings a moment before it explodes in the microwave, as far as I can work out.
So it's all right, so be warned, I guess.
But the most important thing, has she sold you a book yet? That's the thing.
I've promised to buy one as soon as it's in print. Listen, this is one of the great things I think about the BBC. I think it's great about local radio. Is this initiative that people have to say, look, we really want to make a big splash. We want to raise money. Our audiences want to raise money and the enterprise that says, okay, we're going to make it out of the recipe part, the Friday recipe part of your program and make some money out of it is for charity is just fantastic. For Jordan Eid, absolutely fantastic. I really admire that. I take my hat off to everyone for that enterprise, but also for that kind of that passion, that kind of commitment.
There is passion, isn't there? And one of the reasons you're in, of course, here is 50 years since BBC Radio Leicester started, just what, half a mile up the road, yep, at Old Epic House. I like to think the spiritual home of local, yeah, radio, actually. Yeah. Last night there was a Twitter storm amongst BBC colleagues in the local radio network, because you made an important speech last night at the Gillard Awards. Arguably the most important speech about local radio for a generation at least, because it sets a new future for us, doesn't it?
Well, I've just been downstairs in the foyer downstairs at the excellent museum you kind of set up for the history of Radio Leicester. And it's wonderful hearing, I think it's Edward Short, who was, I think, the Postmaster General, talking about how this is going to influence broadcasting and communities and bring people together, and there'll be young people involved. And I was reading Frank Gillard, who I think was a kind of a genius and a visionary. And I felt very strongly that 50 years on from the birth of local radio, which was here, and happy birthday and congratulations, we needed to have a new sense of direction for local radio. Not that it's radically different from what it's about, but reconfirming all those things that Edward Short, but really Frank Gillard, was talking about. That the importance of local news or local information, local debate, but also, I think, the importance of celebration, of stories about people, about their lives, about who they are. Because I feel very, very strongly that in a world which, necessarily, because of media, because of all sorts of reasons, become more divided, then these things that bind us together are really, really important. And I think local radio in England is one of those really key binding ingredients for communities.
I mean, I know you talk about it as being part of the DNA of communities. And to put this into some kind of context, we were all awaiting news on what looked at one point to be a £10 million cut across the network, which would have been a struggle. And it's interesting that I think in your speech you said, apologies for holding up the announcement on this, but it sat on your desk for a while because you didn't feel that was somehow right.
Well, it didn't feel right to me. I mean, look, the BBC has to make savings. We can't avoid that. We have to find ways of saving the money that we're not going to save by what was being proposed for local radio. But I've made it my kind of personal mission, and it's a very enjoyable one, to get round every local radio station in England. I thought I'd got to two more to go, but I've now found out after the Gillard last night, I've now actually got three more to go, but I'm loving it. And what struck me about local radio at its best, I thought that that change in the budget, those sort of levels of cuts, couldn't sustain. And in fact, insofar as we can find more money in, we're all finding, aren't we? Every sector is finding money difficult. Insofar as we can find more money, I think the investment in local radio is one of the things I do want to prioritise in my time at the BBC. And why? Because I see brilliant work being done. I think the future of local radio is really important in terms of building our communities. And I think in hard times, we need to know and hold to account our decision makers. But I go back, we also need to celebrate. And I see that in what you do. Last time I was here, there was a most wonderful sort of grow your own festival going on in the lobby downstairs. And as I go around the country, I see this in all sorts of ways. And I want to build on the differences. Leicester is not Nottingham, is not Derby. Sheffield is not Leeds. And I want editors in local radio stations to be able to reflect in their own ways the communities they're serving much more strongly.
I mean, it's an interesting point, isn't it? That we're not the same as Nottingham. Nottingham's not the same as Derby. Derby's not the same as Cornwall, is it?
Yeah.
That's the point. And this isn't a blank check. You're expecting more from us, more volunteer action, for example, more local, more voices, all that kind of stuff. Not cutting us is not an investment, though, is it? So are you saying that there is more money to come into the network?
Yes, I very much hope over the next year, 2 years, that we can. There's no great riches, but actually, insofar as I'm able, I want to back local radio. And again, this is, I've come to this conclusion, because I see England changing. You've got a very clear idea of you know, nationhood, as it were, in Scotland, in Wales and in Northern Ireland. England's very, very different. The politics of England is very, very different. You know, we're 52 million people, but, you know, it amazes me when you go to Radio Sheffield how, you know, you start saying, have you thought about doing anything with Leeds? Oh, no, thank you very much. And I guess, I don't know, but I guess there's a similar sort of thing in the East Midlands too, you know. But that we are the people and the only people who increasingly, as because of the pressure on local media, we are the people who can express those differences and actually relish those differences. And I love that. I love the fact that when I went to Coventry last night for the Gillard Awards celebrating the best of local radio journalism, I was taken on a cab ride, something that Radio Coventry in Warwickshire have put together with the Arts Council, a cab ride round the history of Coventry. And I learned so much from music through to Cash's name tags. They come from Coventry. To it being the big motor city. It's not quite like that now, but things are coming back. And I think expressing these differences and these cultural differences and geographic differences is what I love about local radio.
And part of what you say in your speech is that you want to give a bit more control back to local editors, which, I mean, it's not that they don't have control, but there's been a sort of a move towards, you know, toolkits of jingle packages, for example, that kind of thing. Does that therefore mean that I know that you know, next summer the evening programme, Georgie's programme, will go. Does that mean that then reverts to being regional, i.e. us, Derby, Nottingham? Or does that mean actually that we will put something on in the evening, Nottingham will, and it will be fundamentally different?
I think this is space where you should experiment with what you think listeners here want. It strikes me that the evening show was one of those areas when you can kind of stretch your boundaries, try things that are maybe a bit edgy, a bit more, a bit different, a bit risky, and you know, that space have been got rid of. So what I hope is that's another way in which you, for Radio Leicester, for Radio Derby, whatever it happens to be, can help to help the community to talk to itself. And why I believe editors in those places should be judges of how the station sounds is because the station should sound, in my view, like Leicester, not like Cornwall, not like Derby, not like Merseyside. And I think that's for the editor and the team, you all, to make judgments about.
But that's like you've sort of dusted off a big reset button and pushed it. And I'm sure that there will be parts of the BBC will saying, well, if you're not going to cut there, where are you going to cut? But actually that reset button sort of, in a sense, takes us back to almost the 80s. I don't mean that in a bad sense, but it's like, you know, Radio Leicester in the mid 80s was just everywhere. Everybody listened to it. You know, I was, you know, 16 in 1986, and I listened to it. And I know that you talk of it being for everyone. Is that realistic though?
That's what I hope we can do. And frankly, that's what I'd love you to do, and to say, look, let's judge success by the number of people in the community who use us or listen to us, maybe not all the time, maybe for part of the time, maybe only for one or two things. And also give you control over how, in the world which we all know is here, the digital world, the social media world, you develop in that world too for, you know, for the Facebook generation. And I think the people who are best enabled to do that are the people actually serving communities, be it Leicester, be it wherever it happens to be. And that's why I want you to kind of have control of your future in that sort of way. And insofar as I can find more money for that, I want to put it there in your hands.
Look, finally, how will you know that this has been successful? I mean, how will you sort of judge it in, and if we're sitting here in 5 years' time, how would you tell whether this has worked?
One, in terms of the numbers, of the community who are using your service for an amount of time each week. I think that's kind of really important. I think we also judge these things in terms of impact, that it may be that people are turned to you at moments of crisis or moments of celebration, as opposed to just using you all the time. But above all, I will judge success by when I wander around the country, and when others run around the country, they speak of BBC local radio with the pride they should, and say, actually, as people in Cumbria said to me, if we didn't have Radio Cumbria, I'm not too sure what our identity in Cumbria would be. This is one hell of a responsibility, but I think it's one that local radio, our local radio, can really run with and make our own. It's, to my mind, this is what public service broadcasting is about. You know, it's about binding communities together, celebrating our differences, explaining our differences, holding people to account, and actually smiling as well as being very serious. And I think that's really important for us in the future.
Well, I remember when you were here last time and when we got 150 bales of hay downstairs and yes. that kind of stuff. I remember you saying to me, you know, that it's, the BBC's, you know, core is news journalism, holding people to account absolutely always will be fundamentally important. But it was something that chimed with me. You said, but we have to do the other as well.
Yeah.
We've got to do the eccentricities, the people that,
completely.
You know, that we have on this programme every day, the woman who's worn her arm socket out making 600 cakes a year. Those people are important too.
They really are, and actually celebrating those people, because you can kind of pick up your paper in the morning and think, you know, the world, you know, what's all happening out there? And the truth is, there are individual kindnesses, individual eccentricities, individual stories going on. Who's going to reflect that? We're going to reflect that here on the station. And I have to say, when I last was here, watching those kids who had learnt through the work you've been doing, how with an allotment, you know, potatoes and carrots come from the ground, not from a pack in Tesco's or wherever. I thought that, again, was one of those things where you thought, well, who else would do that? I mean, you guys do it, and no one else would do that. In a, you know, and I think, you know, us celebrating that is really important.
Tony Hall, thank you so much for coming and enjoying us. Enjoy your rest of your visit to us here at BBC Radio Leicester. We've got you down for a book. That's right.
Yes, sir, you've sold a book.
Excellent, Marvel.
The Swede.
I'm
going to try the Swede, but I'm not certain about that. But you've got a wonderful producer.
Stand back from the microwave. That's all I'm saying. Tony Hall, DG, thank you so much for coming in and joining us this morning. It's 10 minutes to 10.